Dear Sangha, today is the 23rd of May 2010. We are in New Hamlet of Plum Village at the Full Moon Meditation Hall. We are learning, continue to learn the last part of the net of attachment, sensual love. And now we study the number 29 stems. The five kind of sensual desire arise when our mind feels satisfied by them, when we can speedily put an end to those five kind of sensual desire, we can truly be called a hero. The five kind of sensual desire arise when our mind feels satisfied by them, when we can speedily put an end to those five scandals, five kind of sensual desire, we can truly be called a hero. That word thairot is mean pleasant. Pleasant, like lovely. Ka is ability, and I with love, you know, like lovely or pleasant is what we feel pleasant. It's pleasant. Because it's pleasant that we are attached, we are caught. There are appealing appearance, and it's pull you. And you are deceived by that appealing appearance, and then you are hooked by. But if you are caught in that, and then you suffer. In the sutra, the Buddha said something, an illustration like that. Somebody is very thirsty, somebody is very thirsty, and there is a fresh rose water. And he feel that, well, if I can drink that rose fragrant water, and then he will be satisfied. But when he look, there is a label saying that there is poison in this water. It have been written, there is poison in this fresh, cool water. And if you don't die, you will be almost die. But it's very clear. But in fact, the water is so fresh and fragrant, is much better than Coca-Cola. And if you are a wise person, we say that no, it's better not to drink that one. It's better to find other faint water. It's not very pleasant water. But if you drink that, you would die. Or if you don't die, you are almost die. But because the appealing sight is so, the sight is so appealing, the appearance is so appealing, then let's try. Well, if we die, we better die after being satisfied. We have wisdom, we have understanding. We know that if you drink, You die, but you even have to drink. And even you know that you will die, it's better that you die. There's number of people like that is a lot. Those who are ready to die for something very appealing. And meanwhile, there is other path. There is so many thoughts who can help us to satisfy without thirst, without being dangerous like that. It's like a fish who is swimming and have seen so appealing bait. Anyway, the fish know that it's very appealing, but and he's about to eat it, to bite it. But all the fish said, no, don't do it. I know that inside there is something who hooks you. But if you eat, you will be hooked. And because I have been victim of that, don't do it. But the other fish is too young and too full of energy. Now it's so appealing. Now I want to eat. And I will survive like you. So what is the appealing of sense of desire is so strong like that. And you can try to be satisfied, and even you have difficulty. Many young people say, I'm ready to bear all this responsibility. But those who are wise feel that this could be pleasant for a few minutes, but we will die, so it's better not to do it. And thanks to that wisdom, he can be protected, she can be protected. And so the liberation in Buddhism is thanks to your understanding, not by somebody else. It's you who decide to look deep and to take on responsibility of your action. So you are safe, not by somebody else, but by yourself, by your understanding. And so, in Buddhism, salvation is from you, from your deep look, your peace, your understanding. So that desire have five kinds. It's not only sex. Good food, money, fame, so power, fame, money, sex, and good food. We know that if we eat that, we'll have trouble with diarrhea or constipation, but you still eat. So it's better that we eat and then we take some medicine. So the way out is really. So be aware of the appearance. Look from outside, it seems very pleasant, but we have to look deeper. Use your deep understanding to see the fake side of that. The superficial fake side of this object of your desire. And if you know that, you use your understanding, you overcome that, is you are a real hero. A monastic is a hero. It looks like that, but he is a hero. He overcome, she overcome many, many, many difficulties. You overcome your fame, your money, your craving for fame, for power, for money, for sex, for good food, and so on. And so, such a person is, and at the beginning, we think that it's only monastic. But lay people, and I know that there's a number of great people who can overcome that easily. They abandon that job. They have a lot of power, a lot of money, but they content with simply life, simple living. And that they are a hero. So any of us, we have a hero and a monastic and a craving, stupid person. So we are both. So even you are lay people, you still have that spiritual man and woman in you, that great personality that we call a Buddha in you. So don't think that you do not shave that, you have don't know Buddhism, but you are not a Buddha. You are a Buddha. In you, there is deep monastic, deep monk, deep nun, who want to be great, to aspire to go to that direction of light, of peace, of great understanding, and of love. So you have that in each of you, even you don't know Buddhism, or you just first time know Buddhism. But that person in you, so in each of you, you have that little monk, a little nun, a little baby Buddha, and so everyone have that seed of such great personality. And each of us, we have also an artist. Even you never paint, you never play good music pieces, but in there is in you always there is an artist, and you can enjoy that beauty. Painting, beautiful painting, a beautiful piece of music. And that artist in you never die. If you can see a beautiful landscape, early morning, so beautiful, or beautiful nature landscape, and then you feel so impressed, that is an artist in you. And in you, there is also a hero. You want to win successfully. But that great personality, that great Buddha in you, is you win. That weakness of craving. Your hero, the hero, go along with an artist, along with the Buddha in you, that the great being, so peaceful, full of light, full of understanding, full of compassion. And then with such a person, so you aspire to be such a person, you have the understanding is compared like a sword. The sword can cut on the link of suffering. So that sword is your understanding. When you have no understanding, you are hooked by that, caught by that. But when your look is deep, you have that great deep understanding. It's like the sword. Right away, you see the way to get out. Cut right away. So in you, there is that yearn to be beautiful like that. But you are not decisive. You cannot cut. you do not use the sword of understanding in you to cut on this craving. So even you are monk or you are nun, but the hero in you is not clear yet. Sometimes you need use the sword of understanding in you to cut right away. Don't live in a very, very floating way. You have to decide today, determine to do now, here. I cannot wait. I do today. I cut on the links of suffering. I don't need to wait until this evening. I determine now. Don't say that I need to have that last cigarette and then this afternoon I abandon. No, you abandon now. And maybe I have the last injection and after that I will quit heroin or I can quit that. No, you should not. You have to do it. You have to use the sword of understanding in you to cut right away that pulling things to pull you to or not. Now or never. Now or never. That is the statement of the hero in you. You have to give that hero a chance. Let the hero take out the sword of understanding right away. Don't wait. You don't wait that until this afternoon. Today you decide, throw away the cigarette, throw away the drugs, throw away on the bottle of alcohol. You decide now. If you want peace, you have peace right away. That is the teaching of the Buddha. If you want peace, have it now, here, immediately. Don't wait. If you want peace, you have it. I want to have peace. But I have no peace yet. Because what? Because I want to be liberated. I want to be free. I want to be not caught. I don't want to be caught by that. I no longer want to be slave of that. That could be the object of your craving. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be that man or that woman. And I want to be free. If you really want that, if you only want a little bit, it's not good. You have to want a lot. You only want to be free for 200%, not 100%. That yearning, that is a kind of nutriment, a kind of food, the third nutriment, is a kind of energy. And if you really want, you have it. Because your aspiration is too small, so you cannot go in. You want to be healed, you want to be free, you want to have peace. But because you only yearn, you only aspire a little bit, not much. You have to aspire to want to do like that until you better. Like there are a number of you who want to become a monk or nun, and if you cannot, if you only want to become monk, and it's just 90% is not enough. For me, you don't need to be a monk. Or then if your aspiration to be only 50 or 70 or 80 is not enough, for me, not allow such a person to be monk or nun. So you have to yearn, to aspire to become monk or nun 200%, not 100. So this need is too big. You still are caught by this, hesitate by that, and you will never arrive. So the main point is you really want or not. And if you want to do it, where it's come from? It's come from the big awakening, from the understanding deeply. Because you have seen so many people suffer so much. And so now you already have some experience of that. And no, I don't want that. You don't want, your past experience is enough already. Now you have to want more than 100%. That is the bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. And the energy of bodhicitta is great. Is strong enough to push you like a fusée is mean. I don't know the English word fusée is for sky cannon. Who can go because there is a big energy. If you have that already, your bodhicitta is great like that. You have to keep that bodhicitta long. So you need sangha. Sangha, it means those you rely on. You have that desire. But you need a group of friends who can support you. You need the social place to be appropriate. Wish, nourish that aspiration in you. You drop everything. So in Buddhism, we practice what we call taking refuge in the Sangha. In the West, there is Alcoholic Anonymous, is a group of people who try to help people to overcome alcoholism. That is a kind of Sangha. Because they have a group of people who sit together and discuss together and share the experience together in order to overcome the alcoholism. So in our time, we have so many negative situations. You have to find a positive environment where all your desire can be helpful. Can be support. So in Buddhism, we say that if you want to be successful, you have to rely on the Sangha. So you take refuge in the Sangha is not a problem of faith, but you have to listen to other brothers, sisters about their insight. This help. You have to advance. You have to rely on such a Sangha and let that Sangha to carry you. Like you You have a little boat, you have to put yourself in the river of the Sangha. Because without a boat, you will sink into the river. Even if you are a big rock, you will sink like a big rock in the river. But if even you have a tiny little boat, you put the big rock just enough, and then it can carry you to another shore. If you want peace, you have peace right away. If you want to have healing, you have healing right away. And you need a Sangha to help you. When you have that idea to start, if you have that determination, start already. And your healing will be start right away. When you have that will, just will, you start to be healed already. But you need to have a good environment for that will to be realized. So you're a hero, but you need a Sangha. In order to be a hero, if no, you are a hero made with straw. When you discover the path, you have peace. I have found the way. If you want peace, you have peace. And that starting peace is growing every day. You have found yourself. You have found your way. You already sit on the plane, it will come to other shore. So you will not run. When you put yourself in the Sangha, so if among you and yeah, those who have some hesitation, can you advance or step back or turn right or turn left, you have to rely on the Sangha. If you feel peaceful in the Sangha, if you feel happy in the Sangha, it's okay. But if you want one feet here and one feet outside, you want to have solo retreat, maybe you need a few months to go to solo retreat. It could be because you don't feel happy in the Sangha. If you're happy in the Sangha, you will not request that. The stance number 30. When we no longer have sensual desire, we have no more fear. At that point, we are free, peaceful and happy. When desire is end, the internal formation also ends, and because of that, the practitioner comes out of deep abyss. Without fear, you have no happiness. With fear, you have no happiness. If you still have fear, you still have run after the object of your desire, you still have fear. And because you have fear, you will not be happy. The fear go together with the craving. And if you stop the craving, stop, the fear will come naturally. And then you can be free. Sometimes you are fearful, but you don't know what kind of fear. And then the Buddha said that you are fearful because you are still crave. If you stop to crave, if you step to run after your craving, you have no fear. And having no fear, you can go on being free. Dim Dam, it's in his text. Dim Dam means very peaceful, free. You are not up, down, you are not you have peace. You have Dim Dam in peaceful. In your mind, in your body, you feel peaceful. And you drop that passion, that craving. When you drop that craving, that passion, you are peaceful. You are free. You are no longer up, down, up, down. You arrive, you are home. So, not only you have no fear, you have that peaceful attitude in your body and your mind. Without worries and without accident. Without worries, without accident. If you still have craving, you will have accident. And if you have craving, you have worries, you have fear. So you stop that craving, you will be free. Yukta means when you can stop, you can release that craving. Shuket means internal formation, can be undo it. Get means a knot. Internal knot. In Sanskrit is samyojana, is kind of knot in your mind. And on the sadness, craving, anger in you, they are making many knot in your store consciousness, the deeper part of your mind. But thanks to the deep look, you understand better, and then you undo all these knots. And you said that this push you, that pushing you. Sometimes you don't want to do that. You don't want to speak like that. You don't want to act like that. But there is something deep, deep, deep inside who push you and speak like that, act like that. And then after doing that, you feel so shameful. But that is, they call it shu, mean pretty order, the ordering knot. It means not only not, but they really push you to do it against your will. And after they doing that, then it's too late. You have to shout. You have to say that sentence to her or to him in order to satisfy. Satisfy what? satisfy the ordering knot in you. It's push you, get you. That is the word, these two words. And then you have to speak out. You say that it makes you satisfied. But after speak out and you feel sorry, deeply sorry. And how come that I can speak so ugly way? But it's already done. And that pushing energy in you is they call pushing knot. But when you release that craving, you can undo the ordering, the pushing energy, the pushing knot. And when you get it out of that, you are coming out of the abyss. And then on the knot, the pushing knot have been undo, and then you are free. And when you are free, of course, you are peaceful, happy. The sentence 31st. Dear, my dear craving, I know your roots already. I know your roots, the desiring mind. My desire mind come from misperception, wishes, misperceived wish and wrong perception. Ước muốn here is tư, tư mình thinking, have a notion about that. Craving, dear, my dear craving, my dear desiring mind. And you call it for true name, and it say, yes. You crave that food so much, and it would destroy your health. But yes, I'm here. I know. In the sutra, they said that speak about Mara. Mara is that negative energy in you. And every time Mara utters some sweet sentence, and then the Buddha said, Mara, I know who you are. You are so sweet. You pretend to be sweet, but you fool me. And so when the Buddha was already successful and be a Buddha, and he went back to his native country, and he saw that the political situation of the country is so bad. The father is passed away already, and many high officers in the government is so bad. And so Mara appears and that, Buddha, you are the best politician of the world. If you decide to become a king, you can save the situation of your native country and you can save the whole world. And the Buddha said that, Mara, you are my old friend. That desire, that craving of power, I know that is the thirst of power. There's many other conditions, many conditions in order for the situation to change. It's not just to be the king. And I already abandoned that kingdom in order to practice for 7 years. And then I have seen so many things, discover many things, and then I can help countless of people. We come back to be as a king in that country is not enough. And so that pushing desire is Mara. Is Mara in you, not outside of you. Huh? Mara in you. And so that, oh, it's good. You, it's the best. But when you see that, and you have to recognize that, I know you are my Mara. each of you have a Mara or many Mara in you. And then many Mara in you, and they can come and tell you, and then you just barely recognize that negative energy, and you say that, my dear Mara, I know that you are there. You cannot fool me. So, my dear central love, I know your root. The desire might come from my misperceived wish and my wrong perception. Sita, the wish is a kind of volition. Samsna is perception. You have the heretic thinking, the wrong thinking, and you have the wrong perception. From the wrong thinking, you perceive things wrong, and you have wrong perception. And because of now I don't have that craving about you. You cannot touch me. Even you are there, but you are not there. My central love, I know your root. The desire might come from misperceived wishes and wrong perception. Now I don't have any more wishes or wrong perception about you. How can you arise? So like the fish, no, already that is also a wrong foot, and they are no longer be caught by. They know. So your perception will be clearer. Awaken, you see clearer, and you cannot be fooled by that. The stands number 32 and 33 are also repeat what we have learned. So somebody who tried to rewrite, to do it again, and then they repeat everything. If we have felt the tree of sexual desire, but we have not pulled up its roots, it will sprout again. If the monk or nun felt the tree of sexual desire and completely uprooted, he or she will be realized nirvana. That has been said in many other sentences. If a person doesn't want to cut down the tree of sensual desire, its branches and leaves will continue to a greater or lesser extent arise. If you uproot the tree, the person will be at the nirvana state. If you don't cut, you don't uproot the trees of sensual love, and then they have a chance to sprout it again. This tree of sensual love will, of desire will sprout it again. And if your mind is still caught in that place, It's like the baby cow who always follow around the mother cow. They have no freedom. And we can go around, round that mountain of desire, and nobody can bring you out. And you are no longer a hero, because you don't have the sword of understanding. Or your sword is only in wood. This sentence, the 33, we stop the sutra on attachment. Sutra on the net of attachment. I hope that we can make a book about that and bring your living experience to share in the book too. You have many teaching of me, Dhamma talk, transcribe, and also the contribution of brother and sister and you lay friend who have a number of experience, true experience that you overcome and share to people. 27th of May, a number of brother and sister have to go to Germany to support two retreat in Germany, one in Dutch and one in German, but speaking in English. But early morning we also have ordination of a number of aspirants who are called Blue Lotuses, and they are now preparing about Suji. I have asked the physician. He said that this disease have two phases. If the phase is not evolutive, and he will be accept. So if he is in the phase of evolutive, we cannot. Not according to French law and to human law, but because you live in a monastic, in a public community. But if the phase is not evolutive, he can stay and he can be ordained. And he will be treated and he will be healed. So the brother asked me, and I think that I can accept him, Suji, to be ordained this time. But we have to obey French law. And on Tuesday, we will have but this, for now, we can accept him. And, but if French law say that he is at an evolutive phase, he have to go to Indonesia to be treated. But he can be accepted.